In a world where the line between love and manipulation blurs, Carola Lovering's debut novel, Tell Me Lies, has captivated readers with its raw portrayal of toxic relationships. This psychological drama has become a cult favorite among millennials navigating the treacherous waters of modern dating, even inspiring a hit Hulu series starring Grace Van Patten and Jackson White. The novel's unflinching exploration of destructive attraction resonates deeply with anyone who has ever ignored red flags in pursuit of connection. As Taylor Swift once noted in an interview, some stories capture that inexplicable pull towards someone who's absolutely wrong for you, a sentiment that perfectly encapsulates this compelling narrative of obsession, deception, and self-discovery. That night at Baird College, Lucy Albright's life changes forever. As she bonds with her new roommates Pippa and Bree over shots of Absolute, Lucy symbolically discards her gold monogrammed earrings, a gift from her mother CJ, into the trash, rejecting her past as she steps into her new college life. This small act of rebellion foreshadows the larger patterns of self-destruction that will follow. When Lucy meets Stephen DeMarco at a house party on Hutchins Street, the attraction is immediate and dangerous. Unlike the other freshman girls in tight jeans and revealing tops, Lucy captivates Stephen with her complex beauty, long slim legs, graceful movements, and chestnut hair spilling down her exposed shoulder blades. Stephen, with his bottle green eyes, dark curly hair, and Christian Bale-like appearance, isn't conventionally handsome, but possesses a magnetic quality Lucy can't resist. Their first meaningful interaction occurs at Lake Mead during an annual fraternity trip. While Lucy declines cocaine that her friends are doing, Stephen watches her from 20 feet away on another houseboat. When they finally speak, he calls her Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and tells her, "You look so good in that bikini, it hurts," words that send a jolt down her spine. This moment establishes their dynamic, Stephen as the pursuer who knows exactly what to say, and Lucy as the pursued, simultaneously cautious and intrigued. What makes this initial attraction so compelling is how it speaks to our universal vulnerability to flattery and attention. We've all experienced that flutter when someone sees us, really sees us, across a crowded room. But Lovering brilliantly foreshadows the danger by revealing Stephen's calculated thoughts. "I knew the moment Lucy became interested in me at Lake Mead, I could taste it in the air around her like salt." His internal monologue exposes his predatory nature, viewing Lucy as a conquest requiring time and effort rather than a person deserving genuine connection. Stephen DeMarco is a master manipulator who approaches relationships with clinical precision. His pursuit of Lucy follows a carefully crafted playbook that reveals the disturbing mechanics of emotional predation. When he decides he wants someone, he gathers extensive information to resemble their ideal partner, learning everything from their favorite books to how they take their coffee through conversations, Facebook, and Google searches. This strategy worked perfectly with his on-again, off-again girlfriend Diana, whom he impressed by claiming to love Tom Wolfe's A Man in Full, actually plagiarizing a review, and dubbing her Princess Diana, a nickname that made her smile like they always do. Stephen understands that people crave recognition and validation, and he weaponizes this knowledge to create false intimacy. With Lucy, Stephen employs similar tactics, but tailored to her specific vulnerabilities. He positions himself to accidentally bump into her at the library, pretends to share her enthusiasm for fiction, which he actually finds incomprehensible, and researches the Beatles song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, to create a special nickname that makes her feel uniquely seen. Most insidiously, Stephen recognizes Lucy's emotional wound regarding her mother and exploits it. When Lucy confides in him about the unforgivable thing, discovering her mother having an affair with Gabe, a boy Lucy herself had feelings for, Stephen feigns empathy and shares fabricated stories about his own mother's mood disorder. This false vulnerability creates a powerful bond, as Lucy believes she's found someone who truly understands her pain. What makes Stephen's manipulation so effective is how he balances cruelty with kindness. He'll disappear for days, then reappear with passionate declarations and thoughtful gifts. He'll make Lucy feel special by telling her she's not like other girls, while simultaneously sleeping with multiple women. This intermittent reinforcement creates a powerful addiction cycle.
Lucy never knows which Steven she'll get, keeping her perpetually off balance and craving his approval. Haven't we all encountered people who seem to know exactly which emotional buttons to push? Steven represents the extreme version of this type, someone who views relationships not as mutual exchanges, but as strategic games to be won at any cost.
At the heart of Lucy's vulnerability lies the unforgivable thing, the devastating moment when 15-year-old Lucy discovered her mother, CJ, having an affair with Gabe Peterson, a boy Lucy herself had deep feelings for. This betrayal fundamentally altered Lucy's relationship with her mother, transforming mom into the distant CJ and creating an emotional wound that never properly healed. Lucy recalls every excruciating detail of that September day, wearing her sister Georgia's corduroy skirt and white shirt, the warm air, finding CJ's car unexpectedly in the driveway, unpacked groceries, wine glasses, and following strange noises to her parents' bedroom. The discovery sent her fleeing into the rain, hiding in Lydia's backyard swing set, unable to process the dual betrayal from both her mother and the boy she loved. This formative trauma creates the perfect conditions for Steven's manipulation. Having never properly addressed or healed from her mother's betrayal, Lucy develops a deep distrust of maternal figures and authority, while simultaneously craving the unconditional love she feels she's lost. When Steven shows interest and seems to understand her pain, Lucy mistakes his calculated attention for genuine connection. The parallel between CJ's betrayal and Steven's lies creates a tragic pattern in Lucy's life. Just as she couldn't bring herself to confront her mother about the affair for years, she repeatedly ignores the red flags in Steven's behavior, his inconsistency, his secretiveness about other women, his emotional unavailability. In both cases, Lucy chooses denial over confrontation, silence over truth-seeking. This pattern speaks to how childhood wounds shape our adult relationships. When we experience betrayal from those meant to protect us, we often recreate similar dynamics in our romantic lives, either to unconsciously attempt to fix the original wound, or because these painful patterns feel paradoxically familiar and therefore safe. Lucy's journey reminds us that until we face our deepest hurts, we remain vulnerable to those who would exploit them. Lucy and Steven's relationship exemplifies the intoxicating, destructive nature of toxic love. Their connection is characterized by intense physical chemistry, emotional volatility, and a fundamental power imbalance that keeps Lucy perpetually off balance and craving validation. Their physical relationship is transformative for Lucy. Steven is the first man she's ever climaxed with during sex, creating a powerful association between pleasure and his presence. After their first night together, Lucy is exhilarated and stunned by the unexpected intensity of her feelings. This sexual awakening becomes another hook binding her to Steven as she unconsciously equates his ability to satisfy her physically with emotional compatibility. The relationship follows a classic cycle of idealization, devaluation, and discard. Steven initially places Lucy on a pedestal, telling her, "I think I've always thought that I could love you, Lucy." These moments of apparent vulnerability and connection keep Lucy invested despite the red flags. When Steven compares her to a BMW while dismissing his girlfriend Alice as merely a Honda, Lucy surrenders to his embrace, mistaking objectification for appreciation. What makes this toxic dynamic so compelling is Lucy's growing awareness of her own complicity. In a moment of disturbing clarity, she realizes Steven and I are fundamentally the same. Neither of us is truly good. She recognizes her own capacity for cruelty in her treatment of CJ, Georgia, her father, and others, which makes her love for Steven feel complete and sensible, as though they deserve each other. This toxic relationship also manifests physically. Throughout their involvement, Lucy develops disordered eating habits, running 4 miles daily, doing hot yoga, skipping breakfast, and appreciating the hunger pangs at night, convincing herself food wasn't that important. Her body becomes a battleground as she strives to be tiny, a word Steven uses as a compliment that she cherishes.
By the time she returns home for summer, CJ confronts her about her weight, noting her BMI is dangerously low at 18. The most insidious aspect of toxic love is how it isolates the victim from support systems. Lucy lies to her friends about declining the prestigious Writers on the Riviera program, choosing Steven instead, damages her journalism career by neglecting the lantern, and even misses saying goodbye to her beloved family dog Hickory to attend Steven's family gathering. With each sacrifice, Lucy moves further from her authentic self and deeper into Steven's orbit. Steven DeMarco lives in parallel universes, maintaining relationships with multiple women simultaneously while compartmentalizing his life with disturbing precision. This ability to separate his various personas reveals the sociopathic tendencies that Dr. Wattenberger later identifies to Lucy in therapy. Throughout the novel, Steven juggles relationships with calculated efficiency. While pursuing Lucy, he continues his on-off relationship with Diana, telling each woman different versions of the truth. Later, he maintains his relationship with Alice while reconnecting with Lucy, and eventually becomes engaged to Jillian while still seeing Lucy. These aren't simply affairs or moments of weakness. They're deliberate, strategic decisions. What's most chilling about Steven's behavior is his complete lack of remorse. He acknowledges, "I don't feel guilt, which works to my advantage," and views cheating as something that stabilizes me because monogamy feels unnatural. When Diana confronts him about sleeping with Lucy, demanding exclusivity without commitment, they end up having sex, which she immediately regrets, but which leaves Steven unfazed. Steven's internal monologue reveals a profound emotional disconnect. He wonders what it would be like to actually feel those words rather than just say them when telling Alice he loves her, curious about experiencing love the way Loop and Kathleen do. This emotional vacancy extends beyond romantic relationships. He recalls being unable to cry at his grandmother's funeral or feel appropriate emotions when he killed his cousin's turtle as a child. Most disturbing is the revelation of Steven's darkest secret, his involvement in Macy Peterson's death. On August 16, 2008, while drunk driving, Steven crashed the car, causing Macy's neck to snap against the gear shift. Instead of seeking help, he placed her body in the driver's seat and walked home, escaping responsibility while Zombie played endlessly on the radio. This horrific act, combined with his ability to live normally afterward, confirms his profound moral bankruptcy. Steven's character serves as a cautionary tale about sociopathic charm. His ability to present different faces to different people while maintaining internal coherence makes him both fascinating and terrifying. We're simultaneously repulsed by his callousness and captivated by his strategic mind, perhaps because we all wear different masks in different contexts, though rarely with such calculated intent. Lucy's relationship with Steven catalyzes a devastating spiral into depression, addiction, and self-destructive behaviors that nearly consume her. As their toxic dynamic intensifies, Lucy's mental health deteriorates in painfully recognizable ways. Her descent begins subtly with disordered eating patterns. Lucy loses 12 pounds after starting college, running excessively and skipping meals. She begins to appreciate the hunger pangs at night, a disturbing sign of her growing disconnection from her body's needs. By the time she returns home for summer, her mother confronts her about her dangerously low BMI of 18. Substance abuse becomes another form of escape. Initially hesitant about drugs, Lucy eventually tries cocaine with Steven's encouragement. What begins as experimentation quickly becomes habitual, providing temporary relief from her emotional pain. The party scenes at Baird College normalize this behavior, with cocaine, alcohol, and marijuana flowing freely at fraternity houses and campus events. Lucy's academic and professional aspirations suffer as she prioritizes Steven over her own future. Most significantly, she declines the prestigious Writers on the Riviera program, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to study writing while sailing the French Riviera because it would separate her from Steven. This sacrifice of her dreams for a relationship becomes one of her deepest regrets. The emotional toll manifests in increasingly alarming ways. After Stephen breaks up with her at Dudley's, Lucy collapses in her apartment with a nosebleed, physically manifesting her emotional hemorrhage. In another disturbing scene, Lucy steals her mother's precious jewelry collection, inherited from her beloved Aunt Marilyn, pawns the valuable pieces, and throws the remaining junk jewelry into the East River, an act of displaced rage toward her mother that leaves her feeling empty and devastated. What makes Lucy's struggle so compelling is its clinical accuracy. When she finally seeks help from Dr. Wattenbarger, he diagnoses her with clinical depression, explaining it as a chemical imbalance like an infection in your brain. The Prozac he prescribes works quickly, lifting the fog that had enveloped her. Through weekly therapy sessions, Lucy begins to understand both her family dynamics and Stephen's manipulative behaviors, learning that his actions align with sociopathic and narcissistic tendencies. Lucy's journey through depression illustrates how toxic relationships can trigger or exacerbate mental health conditions, creating a vicious cycle where emotional pain leads to self-destructive behaviors that further isolate the individual. Her story reminds us that healing often requires professional intervention and the courage to confront painful truths about ourselves and those we love.
Lucy's path to healing begins with radical honesty, first with herself, then with those she loves. After hitting rock bottom with the jewelry theft, she experiences a moment of clarity in St. Thomas Church. While listening to Psalm 23 being read, something like grace moves through her, and she realizes, "I need to get better, and nobody will do it for me." This spiritual awakening leads her to donate all $20,000 from the pawned jewelry to the church and drive straight to Dr. Wattenberger's office, finally ready to talk. Through therapy, Lucy gains crucial insights about her depression, disordered eating, and attraction to Stephen. Dr. Wattenberger helps her understand that Stephen's behaviors align with sociopathic and narcissistic tendencies, warning her to avoid all contact with him. People like Stephen, they don't change. He will always come back for more. This professional perspective gives Lucy the framework she needs to contextualize her experience and begin detaching from Stephen's influence. The most profound healing occurs when Lucy finally confronts her mother about the unforgivable thing. During their impromptu road trip to Cape Cod, Lucy's emotions overflow and she admits to knowing about CJ's affair with Gabe Peterson years ago. This honest conversation allows CJ to explain the fuller context, that the affair lasted only a month, that Lucy's father knew about it, and that they worked through it in therapy. In this moment of vulnerability, Lucy also confesses to selling Marilyn's jewelry, creating space for mutual forgiveness. This exchange represents a fundamental shift in Lucy's approach to pain. Rather than burying her feelings or acting out destructively, she directly addresses the wound that has shaped her life for years. The result is transformative, not an erasure of the past hurt, but a new understanding that allows both mother and daughter to move forward with greater compassion. Lucy's healing extends to her relationship with herself as she reclaims her authentic desires and ambitions. At Bree's wedding, when she encounters Stephen with his fiancée Jillian, Lucy feels strangely calm, realizing she's finally over him. This emotional freedom allows her to reconnect with her abandoned dreams of writing and journalism. In her final conversation with CJ, Lucy expresses her desire to leave New York to pursue these aspirations, and CJ encouragingly responds, "It's never too late to make a change." The novel's conclusion offers hope without oversimplification. Lucy doesn't magically transform into a perfectly healed person, but she develops the tools to recognize destructive patterns and make healthier choices. Her journey reminds us that redemption doesn't require perfection, just honesty, self-compassion, and the courage to begin again. At its core, Tell Me Lies explores how deception of others and ourselves creates cycles of destruction that can span generations. The novel's title serves as both warning and insight. The lies we tell others pale in comparison to the ones we tell ourselves.
Stephen's lies are obvious and calculated. He tells Lucy he's breaking up with Diana while continuing their relationship. He promises Lucy he's moving out from Alice's apartment by June, knowing he has no intention of doing so. He creates elaborate fictions about his feelings, his past, and his intentions, all designed to maintain control and access to whatever he desires in the moment. Lucy's self-deception is more subtle but equally destructive. She convinces herself that Stephen's inconsistent behavior has reasonable explanations. She believes his promises despite overwhelming evidence that he's unreliable. Most significantly, she tells herself their connection is special and unique, ignoring the pattern of manipulation that defines their relationship. The novel also explores family lies and their lasting impact. CJ's affair with Gabe creates a fracture in the family that persists for years, not just because of the betrayal itself, but because of the silence and secrets that follow. When Lucy finally confronts her mother about the unforgivable thing, she learns the situation was more complex than she understood as a teenager. The affair was brief, her father knew about it, and they worked through it in therapy. Perhaps most chilling is the lie surrounding Macy Peterson's death. Stephen's decision to place Macy's body in the driver's seat after the fatal accident represents the ultimate deception, one that allows him to literally get away with manslaughter. When Lucy mentions Macy's name at Bree's wedding, Stephen's denial confirms her sudden, bone-deep certainty that he was involved in her death, bringing the novel full circle to its darkest truth. What makes this exploration of deception so compelling is how it illuminates the ways lies compound and intersect. Stephen's lies to Lucy are possible because of Lucy's willingness to lie to herself. Lucy's estrangement from her mother creates the emotional vulnerability that makes her susceptible to Stephen's manipulation. The community's acceptance of the lie about Macy's death allows Stephen to move through the world unchallenged. The novel suggests that breaking these cycles requires confronting painful truths about ourselves, our relationships, and our past. Lucy's healing begins only when she stops lying to herself about Stephen, stops avoiding the conversation with her mother about the affair, and starts honestly examining her own destructive patterns. This courage to face reality, however painful, ultimately offers the only path to authentic connection and peace. Tell Me Lies concludes with Lucy's hard-won freedom from Stephen's orbit, offering hope that even the most powerful toxic attachments can be overcome. At Bree's wedding, when Lucy sees Stephen with his fiancée Jillian, she feels strangely calm rather than devastated, a testament to her genuine healing. This transformation didn't happen overnight. Lucy's journey to emotional freedom required professional help through therapy with Dr. Wattenbarger, medication for her clinical depression, honest conversations with loved ones, and the painful process of confronting her own patterns of self-destruction. Most importantly, it required time and distance from Stephen's manipulative influence. The final confrontation between Lucy and Stephen at the wedding represents a complete power shift in their dynamic. When Stephen approaches with his typical flirtatious comments, they fall flat against Lucy's newfound immunity to his charm. When she mentions Macy Peterson's name, his denial confirms her suspicion about his involvement in Macy's death. But instead of being devastated by this revelation, Lucy walks away with profound clarity, finally seeing Stephen for exactly who he is. Lucy's conversation with CJ after this encounter symbolizes her new direction. She confesses her desire to leave New York to pursue her abandoned dreams of writing and journalism, reclaiming the authentic aspirations she had sacrificed for Stephen. CJ's encouraging response, "It's never too late to make a change," affirms that transformation is always possible, regardless of past mistakes. The novel's final image is luminous with possibility. Lucy's smoothing her dress and returning to the reception, the pearl-colored tent glowing in the dusk, alive with dancing and music. This conclusion suggests that while the past cannot be undone, it need not determine the future. Lucy has emerged from the darkness of toxic love into a world still capable of beauty, connection, and joy. What makes this ending so satisfying is its realism. Lucy doesn't magically transform into a perfectly healed person, nor does she immediately find a healthy romantic relationship to replace Steven. Instead, she reclaims herself, her ambitions, her agency, her capacity for honest connection. In doing so, she offers hope to anyone who has ever been caught in the gravitational pull of a destructive relationship. Escape is possible, healing is possible, and beyond the pain lies a life reclaimed.